Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second down and nine. Cardinals backed up to their three. To the air for the first time. Kyler throws to the left flat. Caught by Jameer Bird. He goes out of bounds at the 10-yard line. So it'll be a gain of seven, and it'll be third down and short.
I wanted to score. I wanted to go back in. Somebody asked me before the week, you know, would you want to go back in, or how would you feel? How do you think you would feel? But I was definitely, you know, I was itching for more.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The first full round of preseason games gave us a dose of rookie quarterbacks. Exciting to get them on the field and get their feet wet. And it just gives us so much anticipation for what's to come. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call there on the Cardinals radio network. That first throw, Paul Galvisi with the call of Kyler Murray's NFL debut. And now we're pleased to head to NFL Network and welcome Patrick Claibon, who is working the NFL Network desk tonight and was watching it all. And let's definitely start with Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick. What did you see from him in his first few minutes of NFL action?
Just how quickly the ball came out. Amy, watching Kyler Murray, you expected him to handle pressure and move his feet in the pocket, but just his delivery and the way that even on multiple plays where there was, you know, he was dealing with some Olays up front, the sack that ended that first drive, Humphreys, I don't know if he got a late start, if he wasn't on the same snap count, and so those things are going to happen. But, you know, starting a guy backed up on his own 2-yard line for his first drive in the NFL, nothing but positives. Nothing but positives for the number one overall pick, and you could see why he went number one.
Mm. So defensive coordinators will start to get some tape on him. They'll start to adjust, as they always do with young quarterbacks. What is the danger with him? Is there anybody still worried about his size, or is it just about his development as a baby QB?
I think it's just the fact that this is his first time doing this. There's going to be bumps and bruises for everybody who's not a seasoned veteran playing quarterback in the NFL. I think the biggest problem for Kyler Murray is going to be the guys on the outside. This is a team that's relying heavily on young guys, rookies. They just signed Michael Crabtree. And, you know, shout out to Michael Crabtree. But there was a reason that Michael Crabtree was at home for so long during this offseason. And so that doesn't bode well in terms of an indicator for how a receiver group is done. And they had some guys that made some plays tonight. But being successful as a rookie receiver in the NFL is tough. It's tough to do it as a quarterback, and it's going to be tough for a coach to do it in his first season. So there's just so many firsts going, and that's the big detriment to them at this point. Teams are going to have to try to figure out what they're going to do, and there's not a lot of tape of them because all these people are coming together at the same time. So it's going to be difficult for defenses to develop a plan, but it's also going to be difficult for them to execute.
And you can get him if you can catch him, but he's pretty elusive when he's out there on the field. Earlier in the night, it was Daniel Jones, the New York Giants. I think it was the second series that he came in and played and looked also sharp. What stands out about this young man who was so I don't know if he was criticized, but the pick of him was so criticized when he went in the top 10 in the draft.
And it's just a lot. It seems like that's the perfect circumstance, right? The number one thing that you could have for Daniel Jones is to come out, if he's not going to play this year, if the plan is for him to not play, then the best thing you could hope for is Daniel Jones to come out, go 5 for 5, throw a touchdown pass in the corner to Benny Fowler, and never be seen from again, Amy. Just never again. not to be worried about. The only thing that you can pick out is promise. Because, you know, his numbers at Duke, they didn't jump off the page, but he was also the only draftable player for the past 2 years at Duke. And so you had to wonder about his surrounding cast and what they were able to do for him. And everything that he did tonight it looked spectacular. And this is with a receiving group that was really decimated. They got a big play out of Russell Shepard, Benny Fowler with that catch. Nothing but positives to come out. There's literally nothing you can say bad about Daniel Jones from his debut tonight.
And I thought it was interesting, too, that the Giants, Pat Shurmur, left the starting offensive line in front of him so that he would have regular protection.
And the thing is, that protection, as far as people discussing Daniel Jones sitting, is going to go away if he keeps performing like that. People will be calling for Daniel Jones. As much as Eli is the most beloved man in the entire state, people will call for Daniel Jones the minute anything goes wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's the NFL for sure. We're spending a few minutes with Patrick Claibon, who is right now at the NFL Network after the first full night of preseason games. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So we also had the rookie Dwayne Haskins, and his debut was rocky. More about what I would expect for a rookie QB getting his first minutes. He got some taste of a pick six and a fumble at the goal line. But what did you see with Dwayne?
Well, if we start with the positives, there was one initial play. He rolls to his right. Just a flick of the wrist. It was a 25-yard bomb delivered, you know, on the money, on time, and that was great. And sure, there were a couple of plays. Mack Wilson had two interceptions, a rookie linebacker. One was just a great play, almost catches the ball blind. Greedy Williams gets him on another play. Those things happen. And they pile up. There were some snafus for Dwayne, and that's been a problem throughout camp is timing on snap counts and barking out play calls. And so, the bumps and bruises, acceptable for a rookie, but you saw the issue with a guy who's that young, who's only had one season as a starter in college, mm-hmm. and you also saw the reason that you draft a guy that high with only one season as a starter. And so there's, you can't ding him too bad for going out there and trying to make a play, but there were a few times where it did not work out tonight against Cleveland.
You used the word acceptable, and that popped in my brain. For us as members of the media, how much analysis is acceptable for the first preseason game?
Well, and that's the thing, because people always ask, it's like, what's the off season like? how do you handle not doing all this all the time? And the only analogy I can think of is we're sharks, and sharks they swim and they eat, and when you're swimming, you're just thinking about eating. And so you get to this first week of preseason, and there's a Daniel Jones touchdown drive, and it's like, oh my God, he's going to Canton. This is the best quarterback that
we've ever seen play football. There's chum in the water, Patrick.
That's it. There's teeth flying around. We got, there's remoras and all kinds of fish that are just dying. It's crazy. It's a bloodbath. And so, yeah, you try to pull the big lever, and it's like, hey, dial it back. But we're the same people that have been tweeting training camp touchdowns for the past 2 weeks. So you got to give us a break. This is what we do.
Oh, no, I think it's fantastic. Not to mention, there are plenty of fans who are doing the exact same thing. For
sure. Guaranteed.
Yes. So, Patrick, some of the storylines, even with these young quarterbacks, come along with new head coaches. But we also have some head coaches who are in, I would say, places that are really high profile, like the Packers, even like Jameis Winston getting Bruce Arians, like Sam Darnold and Adam Gase. When you think about some of the new coaches with their quarterbacks, with their teams, whatever the scenario, however you match them up, which ones do you think are really good fits?
I do believe, because Jameis Winston has taken more chances as a quarterback than almost anybody. He leads the league since his arrival in terms of yards per attempt. He's routinely in the top three in that statistic. And Bruce Arians likes to take shots. He likes to take shots down the field. We know Jameis had some trouble connecting with DeSean Jackson deep down the sideline over the course of his 2 years in Tampa Bay. But Jameis, in the middle of the field, in the middle to long distances, has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I do think that works. I think that works, and it's an easier spot to slide in than, say, a Matt LaFleur going to a guy who actually will be going to Canton, and they have to figure that relationship out. And he's doing it as a first-time head coach, significantly younger. Nobody's going to scare Bruce Arians out of anything. Nobody's going to run Bruce Arians away from a microphone or out of a meeting room. And so I think he is in a fantastic situation, and I look forward to seeing them tomorrow night on NFL Network.
Oh, a little plug there from Patrick Claimon, who is right now at NFL Network, but with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I love this question. In fact, I had a caller ask me this question on my last show, but I always throw it out there, too, for listeners, because the NFL routinely has clubs go from worst to first. Every year, we see it. When you look at some of the offseason storylines, and not really preseason games, but offseason storylines, which teams do you think are poised to make a major move in 2019?
I do think, in terms of worst to first, it's tough for me to see a situation where, say, the Dolphins are making a move, or looking over at, you know, some of these same division, the Bills making a move. So worst to first is going to be a little tougher. I do see the Jags bouncing back and having a far better season than they did last year, and that's not just on the strength of getting Nick Foles in and having Blake Bortles leave. I do think there were problems top to bottom for the franchise last year that sometimes things just happen. It didn't work out, and so I can see the Jags making a move. They get shut out tonight, but again, you know, dial it back, everybody.
Yeah.
So many takes. We can only have so many takes in week one of the preseason. I think they'll be fine, and I think they will make a push and a run in the AFC.
I don't know about you, but I'm pretty confident it's scientifically proven that if you run through the preseason and look really good and go undefeated, your regular season is trash.
That's liquid trash, Amy. Liquid trash. It's like you only get so much joy, and if you're getting your joy in August, that's a problem.
It is. One of the headlines that caught my attention on Thursday was the injury to Nick Bosa and the fact that his ankle is significantly injured and he's going to miss the preseason. And he, of course, already had an injury when he was in school. But thinking injuries with the Niners and all of the expectations for Jimmy Garoppolo, it feels so quiet around that franchise for so long now. If he comes back and he's healthy, how much do you expect them to be a contender, if at all?
It's tough. It's tough, Amy, for me to say that they will be a contender because it was 3 years ago, coming up on 4 years ago, where we find out that this regime, they have 5-year contracts. And it's like, okay, you know, the pressure's off. They can slow play this rebuild and build up to a crescendo, and we're here. We're here at that point where the 49ers are supposed to start being in the conversation late in the season. And just looking across the roster, whether it was a plan or whether it's just been misfortune, there's so many guys coming back from injury
right. That
this team is relying on. And it looks great, you know, in the pocketbooks. You can save a little money in terms of offering guys deals that are more team-friendly, as is the parlance we use to describe that. You don't get a lot of player-friendly contracts. We always just call those bad. But team-friendly deals that, you know, allow the 49ers some flexibility if these guys don't work out injury-wise. But this year they need them to. You got Jimmy G, Jerick McKinnon, Kwon Alexander, all coming back from torn cruciates just not even a year ago in some of those cases. It's just such a crapshoot to know how things work because these guys aren't cars. It's not like you just put a new part in there. Everybody's different. Everybody reacts to injury different. Everybody recovers differently from major knee surgery. And so it's a lot to see. And we haven't seen much of Jimmy Garoppolo even when he was healthy.
Right.
We just don't know. And so, you know, you look to that week one game at Tampa, we're going to find something out.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to it because there's just been a question mark for around that franchise for so long.
You can find Patrick on Twitter at Patrick Claibon, Claibon, right now at NFL Network, acting like a shark with chum in the water. Thank you.
Just keep swimming.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.